Penelope, sobbing uncontrollably, cried out to them, "Hear me, dear ones. Zeus has given me torment, me above all the others born and bred in my day, my lion-hearted husband lost long years ago, who excelled the Argives all in every strength, that great man whose fame resounds through Hellas right to the depths of Argos. But now my son, my darling boy, the whirlwinds have ripped him out of the halls without a trace. I never heard he'd gone, not even from you, you hard, heartless. Not one of you even thought to rouse me from my bed, though well you knew when he boarded that black ship. Oh, if only I had learned he was planning such a journey, he would have stayed, by God, keen as he was to sail, or left me dead, right here within our palace. Go, someone, quickly, call old Dolius now, the servant my father gave me when I came, the man who tends my orchard green with trees, so he can run to Laertes, sit beside him, tell him the whole story blow by blow. Perhaps, who knows, he'll weave some plan, he'll come out of hiding, plead with all these people mad to destroy his line, his son's line of kings." "Oh, dear girl," Eurycleia, the fond old nurse, replied, "kill me then with a bronze knife, no mercy, or let me live here in the palace. I'll hide nothing from you now. I knew it all. I gave him all he asked for, bread and mellow wine, but he made me take a mighty oath that I wouldn't tell you, no, not till 10 or 12 days had passed, or you missed the lad yourself and learned he'd gone, so tears would never mar your lovely face. Come, bathe now, put some fresh clothes on, climb to the upper rooms with all your women, and pray to Pallas, daughter of storming Zeus. She may save Telemachus yet, even at death's door. Don't worry an old man, worried enough by now. I can't believe the blessed gods so hate the heirs of King Arceisius through and through. One will still live on, I know it, born to rule this lofty house and the green fields far and wide." With that she lulled Penelope's grief and dried her eyes with tears, and the queen bathed and put fresh clothing on, climbed to the upper rooms with all her women, and sifting barley into a basket, prayed to Pallas, "Hear me, daughter of Zeus, whose shield is thunder, tireless one, Athena. If ever here in his halls resourceful King Odysseus burned rich thighs of sheep or oxen in your honour, oh, remember it now for my sake. Save my darling son. Defend him from these outrageous, overbearing suitors." She shrilled a high cry, and the goddess heard her prayer, as the suitors burst into uproar through the shadowed halls, and one of the lusty young men began to brag, "Listen, our long-courted queen's preparing us all a marriage, with no glimmer at all how the murder of her son has been decreed." Boasting so, with no glimmer at all of what had been decreed. But Antinous took the floor and issued orders, "Stupid fools, muzzle your bragging now, before someone slips inside and reports us. Up now, not a sound, drive home our plan. It suits us well, we approved it, one and all." With that he picked out 20 first-rate men, and down they went to the swift ship at the sea's edge. First they hauled the craft into deeper water, stepped the mast amidships, canvas brailed, made oars fast in the leather oarlock straps, while zealous aides in arms brought weapons on. They moored her well out in the channel, disembarked, and took their meal on shore, waiting for dusk to fall. But there in her upper rooms she lay, Penelope lost in thought, fasting, shunning food and drink, brooding now. Would her fine son escape his death, or go down at her overweening suitor's hands? Her mind in torment, wheeling like some lion at bay, dreading gangs of hunters, closing their cunning ring around him for the finish. Harried so she was, when a deep kind sleep overcame her, back she sank and slept, her limbs fell limp and still. And again the bright-eyed goddess Pallas thought of one more way to help. She made a phantom now, its build like a woman's build, Iphthymes, yes, another daughter of generous Lord Icarius.